Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba. Hi, Mark DeLuzio, episode 72. Where are your engineers? That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about engineering. Where are they? I've been into so many factories over the years, and I would ask two questions relative to engineers. One is, how many engineers do you have here? And they give me a number. And I said, I've been out on the shop floor now for 30, 40 minutes. I haven't seen one. Where are your engineers? Oh, they're up in the second floor or the third floor. I didn't realize you had manufacturing up there. No, we don't. That's their offices. Oh, I see. Well, why are they up there? Well, that's where they work. But shouldn't they be down here on the shop floor? I mean, you wouldn't want a surgeon not to be in the operating room when he's operating on your child, would you? Isn't this kind of where they need to be? How can they be effective when they're upstairs? Oh, no, you don't understand. They do all kinds of stuff with CAD and all kinds of things on the computer, and they do this and they do that. So this is what I see, and I'm going to talk about design engineering in a minute, but let's just talk about manufacturing engineering. All right. Whether you call it, you know, industrial engineering, which to me is, in a lot of cases, industrial engineering is counter to standard work, and the theory is standard work, but I'm not going to get into that in this episode, okay? Maybe that's a subject for another day. But the engineers not being on the shop floor, okay? It's like the cook not being in the kitchen. Again, the surgeon not being in the operating room, okay? Why are they not located on the shop floor, spending a majority, if not all of their time, on the factory floor? It doesn't make any sense to me. So let me talk a little bit about my sensei, Chihiro Nakao from Shingijutsu, who to me is one of the greatest in the world. So many don't know him, but he's phenomenal. And he used to say some very basic things that made a lot of sense. First thing he said was, when you hire a new engineer out of school, put him in the lousiest, dirtiest, noisiest part of the factory. And if he or she lasts for 2 years, you've got a good engineer. Okay. He also said, and this is very simple, the primary focus of an engineer on the shop floor should be to make the life of the operator easier. That's it. He had a distaste for what he called catalog engineers. Engineers that see a problem and they go to their computer to search for a solution that they can procure and spend the company's money on solving a particular problem, which most of the time, and you could probably resonate with this, most of the time when that happens, they create 5 more problems somewhere else. Okay. Catalog engineers. So he would constantly ask our engineers, and all of us, matter of fact, when we were on Kaizens, show me your hands. And he'd look at my hands. He's, DeLuzio, son, your hands are not dirty enough. Go back out on the shop floor. Okay. I mean, that's where it's at. Okay. That's where it's at. I don't know how you make process improvements when you're up on the second floor in some cubicle or some office. with your head buried inside a computer. It doesn't make any sense to me. Whole engineering departments are up there. They're all up there. I don't know what they do all day. Supposedly they're making improvements. I don't know. Usually what they're doing is they're up there concocting some kind of automation that's going to, you know, misplaced automation. And I think I'll have an episode on that at another time. Or looking at the latest robotics or the latest widgets and gadgets and what have you. Because that's fun stuff, man. That's just fun stuff. Meanwhile, the life of the operator is suffering. Process improvement, making the life of the operator easier, all right? So I don't know if your company's like this, but I've seen it time and time and time again. Where the heck are the engineers? The notion of a catalog engineer is that they're using the company's money and they're not using their brain. Nikai would say, no money. Use your brain before your wallet. No money. Go out and try what he called seven alternatives, the spirit of seven alternatives, where you would go out and you might come up with two, maybe three solutions to a problem. But you have to force yourself to go to seven. And you're going to find that it's really hard to do, right? But as you go through the process, you're going to stimulate something in your brain and somebody else's brain to come up with a solution that is just outlandish. It could be the craziest idea. And by me saying, hey, why don't we, fly an airplane in the sky and there's no flight, somebody all of a sudden comes up and says, hey, wait, I think we can do that now that you mention it, right? But the spirit of seven alternatives, force yourself to go through seven alternatives. You can't do that in the office. You got to be on the floor with your operators who know the job better than you. Sorry, engineers, they know the job better than you, all right? You think you know the job. You don't, okay? Especially when you're up in the office all day. And they're down there 8 to 10 hours a day struggling with the processes that you're responsible for creating and perfecting, all right? How can you improve when you're away from the gemba, all right? How can you improve? So get your operators on the shop floor. When I was a chief financial officer for George Koenigsegg, before I went into operations, again, going back to Jake Brake at Danaher, George Koenigsegg was the president. I was the CFO, and George reported to Art Byrne. So we had really good backing there. That's where I was, invented lean accounting, and I had the air cover to be able to do that. But this isn't about lean accounting. This is about, I went to George one day and I said, hey, I'm going to move my whole finance department to the shop floor. And he says, phenomenal. Can't wait till you do it. And I moved everybody down there. And it was an unbelievable learning experience for all of us. We were closer to our customer. When we were stocked out of inventory, we saw the pain. We saw the pain because our Kanban wasn't working, our procurement wasn't working, whatever it was, right? I developed the Kanban system for Jake Brake. And all the transactions got down to two transactions, one when we received raw materials and one when we shipped it. That was it. We got rid of all the intermediate transactions because we brought our inventory down so low, got off two annual inventories per year for our auditors. And we, we backflushed all the way through the bill of materials by creating phantoms at all the sub-assembly levels, okay? That wouldn't happen if I was in an office. That would not have happened because I would not have the understanding of how the product was put together and how everything kind of flowed. That wouldn't have happened. And I'm in accounting. I'm in finance. I was a chief financial. I'm not an engineer. I was a chief financial officer at that time. How an engineer can reconcile that they're up in some office behind what my father used to call a boob tube, okay, on a computer all day, thinking you're adding value. Meanwhile, stuff's happening down the shop floor that you have no idea what's going on because you're not down there, all right? It's mind-boggling to me how we let engineers get away with that, number one. Now, let's talk about design engineers. I see so many companies, and I was just with one recently. Company was in Europe, and their design engineers were in Finland, Norway, Sweden, Germany. They're all over the globe designing product that's going to be manufactured in Belgium. Okay. How do you think that's going to turn out? How do you think, you talk about throwing it over the wall, here we're throwing it over almost a hemisphere, okay? How do you think that's going to work? The communications, the understanding. And by the way, they had no toll gate system. They had one, but they weren't using it. And everything got all screwed up. Procurement, everything was messed up. But you've got your design team now. Divorce from your manufacturing. So even the ability to meet is a problem, right? And today I still am meeting companies that say to me, Mark, how do we get away from design engineering, throwing the design over the wall into manufacturing? And then we got to deal with it. This is 2025, almost 2026, by the way, because today is December 11th, 2025. This is the same crap we were talking about back in 1987. Why are we still talking about today? Is it that much of a mystery to learn how to communicate and organize ourselves? And this goes back to why we don't have value streams, okay? I have an episode on that. Can't remember the number, but we are not in value streams. We're in these siloed functions. And we're still having the same crazy discussion today with design engineering and manufacturing engineering and procurement and all the other necessary, you know, functions that need to work together to get a quality product to the customer, including finance, including human resources, sales and marketing. They all tie together into one cohesive design team. Now at Jake Break, what we did, we took a 72-month lead time down to 18 months, actually 16, because we would not have done business with Hino Motors, which was part of a Toyota, if we had a 72-month design process, because they were developing diesel engines that our product went on in 18 months. So we had a multifunctional team that stayed together throughout the whole design of the process, the entire design, okay? Now, when you look at the toll gates, toll gate zero was, you know, voice of the customer and a little bit of QFD and understanding specs and all that. So yeah, engineering and marketing were involved in that. And then it moved into design, and then it moved, it eventually went into procurement and into manufacturing, and then ultimately back into the commercial side of the business as it transitioned out. Now, that team stayed together. They were at every single design meeting, all functions. They stayed together. And the only difference was that depending on where you were in the tollgate process, for example, if manufacturing, the part of the tollgate process was predominantly manufacturing, the manufacturing lead would run the meeting, okay? If it was design engineering, it would be the design guy. If it was sales, you know, and so forth. So we stayed together as a team, and there were no surprises. And even as a finance guy at the time, I went back to design and said, hey, how come you're drilling this hole horizontally? It's going to cost me $200,000 in capital. Can you redesign it and put it vertically like all the other bores that we drilled for, you know, master pistons and control valves and things like that? And then 3 days later, they came back with a new design. Saved $200,000, and I basically got that operation for free. So, you know, it's things like that, right? It's all about communication and organized communication, not just ad hoc, hey, I'm going to call you when I think I need you. right? But when your design engineering is not co-located with your manufacturing, you're going to have a problem. And I don't know why, it just drives me nuts that we haven't progressed. We have not progressed in so many companies. Not everybody, by the way, but so many that I deal with. And maybe it's just a, you know, the swath of, you know, clients that I have, but so many I deal with saying, hey, how do you do that? And my, I hate to sound crass, but just stop doing it. You know, I have the joke. The joke is guy goes to the doctor and he raises his arm above his head. And he says, doctor, every time I do this, it hurts. And the doctor says, well, stop doing that. Okay. I don't know what it is. No, nobody seems to think they could take control of how they communicate and how they organize. Okay. Just go do it. Don't ask for permission. Just freaking do it. Move your desk to the shop floor. Don't ask anybody. Just move it. Get down to the shop floor, engineers. But so many opportunities are lost in how you're not there with your primary customer, your operator. Manufacturing engineers, your primary customer is your operator to make their life easier. Okay? I see it time and time again. I've seen it for the last 3.5 decades of doing this. It hasn't changed all that much, unfortunately. And just between you and me, I'm getting old. I just, you know, celebrated my 69th birthday. And I'm getting sick and tired of hearing the same crap time and time and time again. All right? I really am. Okay. So hopefully we can make this change. No catalog engineers. The job of the manufacturing engineer is to make the job of the operator easier, okay? And remember, 70% or so of your costs are already built into the design. So if you're not actively working on design teams to figure out from a design and manufacturing perspective and procurement perspective how best to satisfy the customer, you're going to end up with low gross margins, low profitability. And then you're going to be sitting there saying, well, geez, how come they just laid off half the lean staff? Okay. Look in the mirror. All right. Stop operating from a distance. Get on the shop floor. And by the way, that goes for you too, finance guys. Okay. It goes for finance. You know, get out there and find out what the hell's going on. You're a manufacturing company. You're not a paper pushing company. Go find out how manufacturing really works. How many accountants out there can really understand how their own product is put together and what the issues are? The best way to do it is to go down and see it. Okay? As Toyota says, go see, ask why, show respect. Okay? So, where are the engineers? That's this, what is it? Episode 72, right? I hope you guys can take this and do something with it. Please email me at mark@lean911.com and tell me your stories. And have you tried to do this, by the way? And we're told no. Did your boss tell you no? You know, you got to stay in the office. You don't belong on the shop floor, manufacturing engineers. Okay. You don't belong in the operating room, Mr. Surgeon. Right? That's what they're telling you, okay? Maybe you need to find another company if they're telling you that. Break the barrier here. Go find out what's going on. Help the operators, and you're going to find good things are going to happen, okay? All right. Episode 72, where are the engineers? Stay lean, guys. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.